today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
There is a huge difference between being hungry and craving something.
Yes.
And I know. Now, hear me out real quick. I just there he is mocking me again.
Yes, sir.
And I shouldn't spin my wheels.
Did you guys know there was trans fats and fats?
Stop it.
Fats. So,
all right. Thank you. No, not fats. We're not doing. He said fats and trans fats.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Cravings and hunger.
Oh, that's right.
The only tough thing for me was living arrangements in my second marriage.
You're
finding a place where
I
was going to hang out after all these years of trying to build what you thought would be your permanent home. It's amazingly difficult.
You were you were lucky that Instagram wasn't around.
Yeah, since most of your divorces were before social media, it was hard to track them.
Yeah, but they weren't before the internet. That's for. Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Right out of the chute today, because if I don't do it, I will forget it. And you take the time to correspond with The Mike O'Mara Show, ladies and gentlemen, so it's important.
It's all about you.
An imperative on me to make sure that I bring this to you on what I will refer to now as Happy Wednesday. Let's get right in now. Tighter, Brad. That was funny, Oscar. That was a little.
Now, I am pissed still.
I know you are.
Yes.
Tighter,
well, really,
brighter.
Rob, he's the worst leader ever. Let's just wait for Oscar to get there.
Well, you've made that bet.
Yes.
And you know what? It's the problem when you're the best leader ever. People follow you.
No! Don't follow me. Leave without me, please.
Tighter and brighter for your listening pleasure. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Let's get right to it, shall we?
Right. Yes.
Mike, like you, I have a younger son, and I, too, wanted to develop his interest in football. I found two helpful things. One, play football video games with him.
Oh, I don't like football video games.
Really?
I don't, but I could.
Maybe I could train myself. We started with a college football game, and now we play Madden together. Okay, I get that. Number two, playing in a fantasy football league together. I don't know if he's old enough for that. It's frustrating.
For Las Vegas style gambling?
I don't know. Anyway,
you could co-captain a team with him, though, and let him watch you.
Yeah, whatever. Video games allowed me to introduce the sport in a forum that he already likes, and fantasy sports got him interested in what players do and reinforce basic math skills, points, averages, etc. This is a good letter. I'm not sure if it's appropriate for his age. We started with this 3 years ago, and now football Sundays are a great day of bonding between my son and me. What a great letter. I appreciate this. I hope this helps. Don in Tucson. Don, I will take it under advisement, although it's never too early, Mike.
It's never too early.
This is true.
That's true.
Let me see. More Corona cuisine.
Yes.
This is the next letter. I knocked the sprouted roots off some old baby gold potatoes. I have cooked them in microwave and 30. Is it in a microwave? I have cooked them in a microwave and 30 additional minutes in bacon grease. Or is this like? What am I reading here? Is this?
Do you remember? This is Tony, the guy that made that ridiculous sandwich 2 weeks ago. This is his next Corona cuisine recipe.
More Corona cuisine. I knocked the sprouted roots off some old baby gold potatoes. I half cooked them in microwave and 30 additional minutes in bacon grease, or in my case, fat back.
Mm.
Well worth the time. Pepper is a must. Luckily, the fat back I froze on March 18th is still good, or I'll find out in the morning. Amazing, Tony.
He's making good with what he's got. Old fat back and rooted potatoes. Yeah.
Thank you, Tony. Next letter says, hello, friends. I was listening to the radio this weekend and had to stop what I was doing after I heard a song that was being played. I think that this song could be used somehow on the show. The name of the song is Carla's Got a Boyfriend. By Baxter Dury. Is it Dury or Drury?
Dury.
Give it a listen, and hopefully it'll never come in handy.
Carla's got a boyfriend. He's got horrible trousers. And a small car. Carla's got a boyfriend. I spotted him on Instagram.
Oh.
Followed him about a bit.
He's got a small car.
Carla's got a boyfriend. Bit of designer hair, sloppy facial looks. Carla's got a boyfriend.
Okay, I think I get it.
I might take care of him.
I had a friend that recently tell me that who just went through a recent breakup, and he said that he's been eyeballing his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend.
Yeah.
And it upset him that the guy wasn't better looking than him. And I told my friend, you gotta let it go. You gotta let it go.
He's doing it on social media, the social media stalk thing.
I said, why do you care? You dodged a bullet. She was crazy. And he goes, but at least...
He was in love with her.
Yeah, I was like, let it go, right?
But people do it. They're addicted to it.
That's what girls do, not guys.
There was a period of time in my life where I fancied myself as a wonderful amateur marriage counselor, or no, divorce counselor.
Yes.
Because I knew at that particular time, I was talking to a lot of guys that had gone through what I went through. There's one dude that I played golf with, and for 16 holes, every single hole, he wanted to talk about it. And finally, I said, man, you got to move on. You got to let it go. You should hear yourself. I said this to him. You should hear yourself. It's all you're talking about. It's a trauma. It is a trauma. You go through a trauma, and that's what it's all about. And it's very, very frustrating. The other person goes through a trauma too, whether they wanted it or not. And you know, I've been on both sides of the equation, and it's very, very frustrating, and it's very sad. And certain guys, I don't count myself in that. I you know, to be honest with you, I would come to grips with it rather quickly, and move on. I had no choice. But the only tough thing for me was living arrangements in my second marriage.
You're
finding a place where
I
was going to hang out after all these years of trying to build what you thought would be your permanent home. It's amazingly difficult.
You were you were lucky that Instagram wasn't around.
Yeah, since most of your divorces were before social media, it was hard to track them. After
the way you would before see the them internet. That's for. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Anyway, shouldn't probably say that.
So there's that.
We don't have to edit that out. Anyway. Alex Firer, thank you very much for that. No, my point is that once the conclusion has come to that, that's it. There's no going back.
Yes.
That's it.
When you just get get on. That's it. That's all. That's when you have to move forward and be done. And ultimately, things will work out. I mean, they might not work out exactly like you had planned, but excuse me, life doesn't work out like you've planned.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And there are lots of good people.
Life will kick you in the nuts a few times.
Oh, yeah.
And find somebody that, you know, don't settle for somebody that might be a little hot, but actually doesn't like you as a person. That's not the way you do it. You got to find somebody who not only likes you, but somebody who can manage you. And tolerate you.
No, I completely disagree. I disagree.
I don't.
You don't want to be managed.
Carla's the toughest woman. Carla's, yes, I do.
You are the king of your castle. Now, if you want to give the keys away to the queen, that's on you.
You know what? Drive away, queen. You're driving the car. I'm in the back without a car seat. Thank you very much. That's me.
No, what Mike says is true, because you put on a certain persona to impress.
You gave away the keys a long time ago as well. I'm dealing with two beta males.
Okay, thank you, Oscar.
The alpha male allows himself to be co-managed or managed together.
Just so you know, at 61 years old, this beta male could get on a plane, come up to Washington, D.C., and kick your Bolivian ass. So be aware of that fact, this beta male. No, Carla, today, it's funny. We will have in the show a moment where I have relinquished my responsibilities for a particular task.
Okay.
The one I was discussing with you prior to the show. What I'm saying is putting up with my crap is a very, very good indicator. And there, but I go through a lot of crap with her putting through me through my. It's give and take. But I'm saying,
and getting what I wanted back to say. Before
you're
Oscar
not
kicked
allowed.
Me in the
you're
nuts.
Not allowed. You're by the way, you're an hour away from this happening anyway. So the fact is that
I was going to speak in broad terms, not necessarily about my marriage.
That's
what I was
fine.
Gonna say.
You're good at that. Go ahead.
Is that
speak in broad terms that won't put anything on your own ass. All right, go ahead. Yes.
No,
go
you
ahead.
Put on it, you put on a face, you put on an act when you're dating. If you're gonna marry somebody, they have to accept you for you. Because you can't live a lie for the rest of your life.
Let me
That's
ask this
all.
Question.
Rob. That's all.
I'm sorry, since we're having a Wednesday already. Mm. Let me ask you, do you feel like you're the best one that's qualified to dole out marital advice?
Well, I've got more years than anybody else on the show, so I'll say yeah.
Well, that doesn't matter, though.
Mm.
How many of those years would you describe as happy?
No. The majority, the plurality
What's
of them.
The expiration date on happiness?
There's an expiration date on my marriage license. Is that a bad sign?
Okay. Moving right along.
Mike, God. There are good moments that are bad. Right now it's good, so let's enjoy it, okay?
Okay. Hey, guys. So would you be able to get a consensus on that being good?
Yeah, I would guarantee it because it's her birthday and I did well this morning. She came down this morning all happy and yeah.
Would you say it's day to day?
I would say it's week to week.
Okay.
W-E-A-K. 2 week.
Well, we'll find out. We're doing the little get together. We'll have to have all sing happy birthday to your wife.
I think that'll
Friday
be
night.
Nice. She'll be drinking champagne and you know what that means.
Oh, dear. Anyway, next letter says, hey, guys, sorry to bother you, but I have a question for Rob. Rob,
hi.
What years did you go to McLean High School? I was class of 77, and I was just curious. That's my grade, by the way.
Uh-huh.
It's good to see when someone from McLean makes it. As I grew up in McLean, too. Take care, Andy Siemens.
I'd like to address this. First of all, I appreciate Andy thinking that I've made it. I don't know what that means, but you may want to reconfigure the calibration on that. I did not go to McLean. My entire family went to McLean. He might know my aunt and uncles, Gail, Dana, and Lina. They were in there, that same vicinity, and my parents went to McLean High School. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that like Carolina? Or
No, it's simply Lina, because actually my grandmother was named Caroline, and her nickname was Lina, but Lina's proper name is Lina. That's what's on her birth certificate.
I like that name. I love that name.
Beautiful. But so, yeah, look for stalk-ups in the mid-70s at McLean. I went to Madison High School. Go Warhawks.
Nice.
There you go. Next letter says, hey, boys, another year, another letter, submitting my own birthday, Friday, September 25th, to the TMOS mailbag. This will ensure the lady boner I always get from hearing my name on the show. I love you guys the most. It's Linda Herr, who just can't help but be a funny, funny lady.
No,
one of my all-time favorite TMOS listeners. Linda, have a wonderful 23rd birthday. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Next letter, Casey Kasem request. Well, now we're up to do I want to play the stuff here or
it's at the end. It's at the end if you want to play it. I didn't know if you wanted to put a little Casey affectation on the read.
All right.
Well, now we're up to our long distance dedication. This one about social distancing and jobs and a situation we can all understand whether we are socially distancing or have a job or neither. It's from a single woman in Orlando, Florida, and here's what she writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it will mean a lot if you play it. Recently, my household was hit financially by the pandemic, when the lockdown caused the end of my work contract. My cats and I have been very broken up since the sharp decrease in income started. We are making do by cutting back on my expenses and giving the cats whatever they want. There was a hit song back in the day called Roxanne. As I recall, it was about a woman who was driven by financial need to visually indicate her work availability. The song has lyrics in which the singer tries to convince Roxanne that she does not need to put on the red light. It's a nice description of unemployment for an overqualified, middle-aged single woman. Could you please play Roxanne, Casey, and dedicate it to Joanna from Cornerstone First Financial? I want her to know that she didn't just save me money. She saved my virtue. In addition to telling me I didn't have to put on the red loofah, Joanna helped me lower my monthly payments by more than $200 a month. Today, my mortgage rate is almost 2% lower than my original mortgage rate. And more importantly, my loofah can stay in my shower. Sincerely, Sonia B.
Casey's Top 40.
Well, Sonia, let me say to you, thank goodness you won't be selling your body for money. And congratulations to Joanna at Cornerstone First Financial and all the good people down there, including that one guy that always gives me a hard time about politics.
Rocks!
Thank you.
That was masterful.
You don't have to live in a red state.
No.
Live in a red
state. No.
Live in a red state.
Oh, I'd love to do that today. Anyway, next letter. Dear Dumb, Dummy, and Dumber, didn't your mother ever tell you never to put anything smaller than your elbow in your ear? You see, they make eardrops, carbamide peroxide solution, and you put a few drops in your ear. It foams a little and might tickle. Then you rinse your ear out with one of those little bulbs like you suck out boogers with.
Nice.
Voila! No fuss, no muss. Stop putting pointy things in your ears. Just an FYI, Jim Moore of Olney. Okay, so it's carbamide peroxide, and then flush it out with, like, regular water, I would think, right?
I still love a Q-tip. I say, Jim, step off.
All right, very good. I don't. I'll actually try that because my ears are problematic. Good morning, all. Last week, I was at the Mike and Carla Chipotle on Liberia Avenue in Manassas.
They still have your picture up.
Remember
that's
that
so
one.
Damn funny. How do people remember crap like this? After
yeah, because you got on this kick that you would leave right after the show and go to that Chipotle, and we'd be sitting in your house like, did he just leave for lunch?
Yeah, where is he?
Weird. I
guess we gotta post the show.
Hey, guys.
Bye.
Hey, you guys.
Let yourself out. We're going to go eat.
Lock the door behind you.
That stuff makes me laugh. After getting my usual bowl, brown rice, black beans, fajitas, chicken, pico, and a little sour cream, cheese, and lettuce, I sat down at one of the socially distanced window tables. Immediately, I noticed the license plate on one of the cars in the first row. The plate proudly exclaimed, "Your face!
Your face!"
She had to be another TMOS fan. I anxiously awaited the arrival of the car's owner. She turned out to be a lovely 30-something with a toddler in tow. I quickly went outside and told her, "Nice plate." I guess she was either having a bad day or perhaps misunderstood me, because all she did was flip me the bird, jump in the car, and speed out of the parking lot. Oh, well, it's the thought that counts. Ron from Yorkshire, GMHS class of 66.
Oh, another Warhawk. That's nice.
Wow.
They're everywhere.
Awesome. Yeah. Man, moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, greetings, TMOSers. Earlier this week, I used a phrase in a group chat with friends to describe how I was feeling at work. I said, riding up front in the struggle bus.
See?
We yeah. have funny letters this week. They had not heard the phrase before and thought it was quite amusing. A few days later, Oscar told the story of Peach referring to him as being on the struggle bus. Does anyone know the origin of this phrase? Keep bringing the funny. Regards, Matt Bazinet, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Did you create the struggle bus, Oscar?
Oh, no. I heard it from Shannon the very first time. But if I was going to take a deeper dive and really, really look at this PC universe, I think for the better, out of respect, we went from a certain type of bus that I think was just rude and hateful. And then you went to the short bus scenario. But now I think what is actually somewhat endearing is the struggle bus. If I was going to just
not leave out the bang bus.
Yes.
Aren't the brothers on that bus for the male performers?
Oh,
when you hit speed
you're both
bumps.
Talking at the same time. Hold on. Start again. What?
That could also be a struggle bus for the male performers when they hit speed bumps.
That's right. I was wondering if the Bang Brothers were on the Bang Bus. I love those siblings. No, it's a great family.
They're the production company.
Oh, I see. Yes. Okay, very nice then.
No. What do you think? It's just a couple of guys that look like the Marx Brothers sitting up front and go, "Hey, yes. Touch your boob." All right. And I hold in my hand the final letter. Hey, Mike, Rob, Oscar, I just have a quick question. Where can I find the audio for the fat guy that says, "I'm never, ever full"? And where is that clip from? My wife and I always quote it, and she actually never even heard the full clip Anyway, it makes us laugh whenever you play it. I can totally picture the guy in my head, and he's huge. We love the show, and the cocktail party is always appointment viewing for us. That's coming up this Friday. You guys keep doing what you do. Shall we play the entire clip?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead.
Make sure no one talks over it if he wants to record it. So if you talk over it, you're going to ruin it. So what we want to do is
give him a pristine.
And also, before we play it, don't know exactly. Yes, where it came from.
That's what I do when I want a three count. I want you to talk some more. That's exactly what I want to do when I'm doing it. What were you going to say? Talk.
He asked where it came from. It's from a Dateline-styled show, but I can't remember it. I've looked for the clip online
So
again.
You interrupted me so you could tell him you didn't know.
The clip played. So you go 3-2, and then you play it, and then you mention that afterwards?
Not when you're OCD.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't work that way. That. He has to get it out.
Just clarify.
There. He has to get 3-2-1.
And I'll do anything for food. I could eat 24 eggs, 36 pork chops, 24 frankfurters. I've eaten a dozen bagels at one time with 2 packages of cream cheese. I'm never full. I am never, ever full physically. I stopped at a Jewish deli and had 2 pastrami on clubs, 4 frankfurters, 2 knishes, and then went home and had Chinese food.
So outside of the cackling, that'll be a clean cut.
Yes, sorry.
Don't ever try to record anything.
No. Just ask it from Rob. He'll send it to you.
Yes.
The 2 packages of cream cheese. Pony and I play a little game. We also love that clip, sir, where we try to recite by memory everything this person has eaten. So we miss the packages of cream cheese, and I always miss the Frankfurts. But I get the knishes all the time.
Frankfurters is very New York, too.
Yes.
Frankfurters. I'll have 4 Frank. But imagine that he goes home and then just picture him about halfway through that Chinese meal.
Well, I love the fact that it's it's delivery because he sat down and he burps. He tastes the Frankfurter. The Frankfurter is going to overpower the flavor of Knish and the burp. And he says, you know what? I'm going to call down to the golden dragon and have them bring up some Chinese. And that's it. Yeah. And they know him by name. Sure. Absolutely.
I will tell you that in that city, I mean, if you're going to be a fat guy, it's the greatest city in the world. It's the best food in the world. You can get anything. You can get anything delivered. That's the way it works. You get the best pizza and arguably some of the best Chinese food and the best Italian food in the world in New York. So if you're, weighing in at about 450 and you want to be, take it up to that half a ton, go ahead. Move to New York. If you can afford it, go ahead. You do that.
Now they have an Applebee's right in Times Square. You can get anything you want.
Absolutely. We used to laugh at that. Greatest food city in the world. And, meanwhile, you've got a TGI Fridays for the complete and total idiots that go to New York. If you go to New York as a tourist and you're eating at a TGI Friday, just jump off the bridge. Go to the Brooklyn Bridge in the middle and just jump off. That's my advice to you right now.
You could make a fortune if you had like a jitney that went between the Today Show outside people and the Applebee's, because those are the same people. The people, well, I guess they don't do the Today Show social distancing anymore, but back in the day when people would hang outside, then it was off to Applebee's. Yeah.
My daughter's children at the time saying, Dad, I don't want to stand out here with all the idiots. I don't want to do that. My daughter said that. Meanwhile, I was bringing them down there and said, hey, wave to be on the magic box. And then you can hear them on their way down to the Applebee's or the TGI Fridays going, da 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 da.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I had been living in New York and working there as an actor and director and choreographer for 25 years or so, and I really felt I needed a change. I imagined in my fantasy, I suppose, that when I came here, I would have a completely different life. Perhaps a construction worker or one of those guys that works on those high wire things that with a hard hat, that sweeping sort of hat and with the chaps. But that didn't really work out. I began to realize, I guess, that the theater was still in my blood and what I had to do was make use of that. So I offered my services to the high school here, and they accepted, and I began to teach drama. And within about 6 months, I had formed the Blaine Community Players. My first show was Barefoot in the Park, which was an absolute smash. But my production on the stage of Backdraft was what really got them excited. This whole idea of in-your-face theater really affected them. I wanted the audience to feel the heat from the fire, the fear, because people don't like fire poked in their noses. You know, when you get a cinder from barbecue right on the end of your nose and you kind of make that little face, that's not a good thing. I wanted to have the sense memory of that. So during the show, I had someone burn newspapers and send it through the vents in the theater. Well, they freaked out. Of course, the fire marshal came over and they shut us down for a couple of days.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people. That's what you are. You're just bastard people, and I'm going home and I'm gonna bite my pillow. It's what I'm gonna do.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Feel that way today. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Our show today is from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, and we're heard all over. Saluda, South Carolina, Billings, Montana, St. Cloud, Minnesota, Cumming, Georgia, Alligator Township, North Carolina, Toledo, Spain. We are heard everywhere. Please, if you'd like to hear your town, your locality, your city, your destination, wherever you're listening to this show, send it along. We'd love to put it on the show. If you have a great vacation, you have wonderful memories of listening to TMOS, you can send that along too and say, oh, they mentioned that place we went on our vacation. Yes, Rob.
Got an email from Taiwan yesterday. So we have Taiwan representing next week.
Taiwan!
It's Rob at MikeOmaraShow.com. Rob with two B's, make sure.
Our show today brought to you by MyBookie. Week 3 of football is coming up. Sweet! And your winning season at MyBookie just keeps rolling on. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season also means insane player prop bets, epic bonuses, and the craziest cross-sport wagers. At MyBookie, winning season means watching live sports and betting live sports all season long. All season long. Don't forget the MyBookie $300,000 guaranteed super contest. Here's what you do. You pick 5 games against the spread each week, and there are prizes all season long. Just get over to MyBookie and get in on the action. Use promo code TMOS and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Bet with the best this NFL season for your chance to win big. Use promo code TMOS and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie. Make your picks and win big. Collect your cash. Use promo code TMOS and double your first deposit now. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. That was a great mailbag. Good letters from everybody. And
Loved it.
You can send your letters to Rob, and we try to get them on every week or two for you. And don't forget, programming note, this coming Friday, it is the TMOS cocktail party.
Yes.
And it seems right with the world to be doing that once again as we are at the end of September again. It's just stunning.
Time flying.
What was going on
this time last year?
Boy. We were probably ramping up the fruitcake production,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we were getting ready to do
and
that.
And then Las Vegas.
We were making our plans for our Las Vegas show. It has been a strange, strange year, and I pray that 2021 comes back better, but I got no faith. I got no faith until a few major things happen. We're going to have to wait and see, and it's strange. I was watching
It's strange in that it seems like it's been a million years that we've been going through this, but that also March was yesterday. That the whole spring to fall has just zoomed by, but we've been at this for so long now.
Oscar was raving so much about the Challenger documentary on Netflix that I dove in, and I made it. As soon as he said it yesterday, I had to watch this because it was not what I expected it would be. And it brought home the fact that when you have weak-minded people that just can't make a fist, horrible things happen. It's happening right now in our world. It happened back in the day on a much smaller scale to me and to Oscar and to Rob personally. where people just don't. Yeah, people just hide. They hide behind their nice little jobs, and they hide behind their cushy, incomes, and they don't make a fist to do what's right. And in the case of the Challenger and that O-ring situation, I never, ever knew the backstory of what really went down with that disaster and how incredibly avoidable it was. And it's just an amazing story. You remind yourself of the overachievers that were put into this program to be astronauts. And we really, that's why I was so excited about the SpaceX launch, because the type of individuals that do this, that go up to the space station, that go, I think one of them running for office in Arizona right now, I think that one of the astronauts is actually running for office, and I think we should elect astronauts because the discipline they have and the ability to
bravery.
Think in critical situations and pure bravery.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. At one point, guys, Carla was asking me about saying something along the lines that I would be so terrified. I said, it's not in their DNA,
right?
Nervousness. Yeah. But terror, they are so focused on doing what they should
mission,
do, and they
the
are
mission.
So
yeah,
and it's all about preparation, and we see that everywhere, and having a plan and knowing that. And what I think really separates a lot of people in this country that are successful are the idea of having a goal, knowing what you want to do, and having a plan to achieve that goal. And you put that into the astronaut corps, and it's on steroids.
Yeah,
they are so. And then they are confronted, and I include the people that are the scientists that,
of course,
that get them up to
space.
You
want the best of the best.
Then you get the guys that sort of creep through the administrative ranks
suits.
In these organizations. The suits. We
exactly.
dealt with them in radio.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the suits just suck. They do, because they've never really created anything. What they've done is administered things,
yeah.
And they're great at their skill sets involved ass kissing, networking, and knowing the right people to get them in. They muck this whole thing up, and seven people died. And I think we forget about the history of this. Don and I went on the day after it happened, and people were just crying their eyes out over this situation. But it didn't need, what you come away from this documentary saying is it really didn't need to happen, Oscar. And it blew me away how egregious the malfeasance was on the part of these corporations and these executive directors.
I have a few questions, if you don't mind. And really, I'm happy you got a chance to see it.
You guys were both kids when it happened. I know
if,
that.
And if you're in the listening audience and you're like, it's not my... I would say just for the way that they capture history and they retell the story with the detail of every member on that crew and...
Oh, you need to know this stuff. This
steps
is important.
That
this
it
is important.
Took for what would have been, as Mike said, an avoidable accident... to get to where it was to precipitate that type of negligence. There's a chilling moment within, and Mike, you probably saw this within the series, it's four parts, that you hear in the first count retelling of, yes, I said no, it wasn't safe to launch, and yes, I changed my mind after seven other people said, it's safe. So they basically bullied this contractor engineer into saying, no, it's safe, right? It's definitely safe. And by the way, now sign off on it because we want a CYA just in case something does go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was a question of the best way I can describe these O-rings to people is the booster rockets, when you look at the space shuttle, are the two solid rockets on the side of the giant fuel tank.
Right.
So you have the space shuttle, then you have the giant fuel tank, then you have the two booster rockets, and they were solid fuel boosters. They were basically bombs, and they lit these bombs. They couldn't turn them off. It wasn't like regular fuel where you could shut a fuel line off. They were solid rocket boosters. And when these things went up into space, there's no going back. Once they light that candle, that's it. the white rocket boosters were not one solid piece of metal. They were connected. There were sections that were manufactured, and they were connected. And inside these connectors were seals, and the seals were the problem. And the seals showed damage after launch. It's constantly showing. They especially showed damage after colder weather launches. So they knew they had a problem. And there was pressure.
Yeah.
There was money involved to get as many of these things going. The fact that they had Krista McAuliffe, a teacher, they wanted to do this.
They had the president there.
Yeah.
They had scrubbed twice already.
Yeah. All the pressure was to do it. And that's why, you know, I believe they put in protocols. However, there was another Challenger, not another Challenger, but there was another space shuttle that blew up on reentry.
Yes.
And apparently there were other warnings. There's another. Yep. So it happened again.
The tiles.
It happens because you have so many layers.
Tiles, yeah.
You have so many layers of management that that okay these things. And when you're dealing with human lives, that shouldn't be a factor. But, you know, how many car companies said, oh, this will be okay, and then people die
yep.
in a car?
But
how many plane
scale,
companies do this? It happens all the time.
So I agree with you, Mike, but the scale of the what was that space shuttle, that incarnation of space shuttle was... It wasn't like this airbag situation from Takata where all these airbags are now being recalled for what the last 10 years it feels like.
Right.
The negligence that came from, if we don't launch, we're not going to get our funding.
Right.
That type of pressure should not be on the backs of scientists.
It shouldn't be on the part of it. It should not be a part of it.
And frankly, the space program, and you can say, Oscar, you probably should know better. It's a business at the end of the day. What do you think the bringing mm-hmm. your first teacher to space was? It was a marketing campaign, mm-hmm. which ended tragically.
Right.
But overall, the visuals and the people, Rob, and this is something that I think you would appreciate, the human side of these scientists and these right. engineers. To this day, there's wrecked. I would say 80%. Like one guy, the junior engineer that faxed the actual signed paperwork to NASA to certify that it was safe to launch,
right.
still looks like he's traumatized. Still
well, I'm sure
looks
he
like
is. Losing. I'm sure he's. Now, still I've got a question like that I'll need Mike to help put it into historical perspective because you're a little older than us. If I'm remembering this right, and I was 15 or almost 15 when the disaster happened, the bloom was a little bit off the rose on the space program because if you go back to the 60s yep. when you were a kid,
right.
astronauts were literal superheroes. I mean, right. they were marketed and they would yep. do talk shows where they'd just walk out and people would go crazy. They mm-hmm. were the next generation Uber man. They were superior beings. And by the time we got to the Challenger, the space shuttle was already had gone, the program had been going on. Yep. And I think that Oscar says something right here, as some, I've not seen the doc yet, but the idea of putting a teacher in space was a rebranding, and it was an exciting opportunity to sort of reinvent and re-energize the space program. And so is that, and having not seen the doc, I need to know from you guys, is that one of the outlying pressures that made them force through with it? Because there was
it
a PR element.
Been. It may have been. You're absolutely right about, and I was there, and I remember yeah. how we had lost interest as a nation
yeah.
on the program. It was no big deal when a space shuttle went out. And it was no big deal for this one, my memory serves me. Yeah, we had a teacher going up. They were, you know, they were tying that into the kids. They had classrooms that were watching this. But the bloom was off the rose. The initial days of the space shuttle were special because
right.
it was such an amazing, yeah. You know, it was amazing that this thing could land on an airstrip after going into space. But that faded as well. So
we
it
got
was
spoiled.
Just the,
we got spoiled. They actually,
this was
they
the attention
that.
Span yeah. of the American people.
Yeah.
This is the attention span right now. Look what we're living through right now. We now look at 200,000 deaths in this country and we kind of go, oh, okay, it's not even human. No one's put it into human perspective
no,
successfully
can't.
Because we have short attention spans. And if it doesn't affect me personally, that's the way it is. When the space shuttle blew up, it was suddenly it was like getting slapped in the face, mm-hmm. everybody in the country. It was that massive. It was stunningly disastrous for the entire nation. And what I wanted to say is what's interesting when Oscar talks about the guy, the engineer, the junior engineer that's
right.
racked by this, On the other flip side of that, you get the two heads of the departments of the head of the company that manufactured the solid rocket boosters and the head of the company that another one of the companies that was involved with the launch. And they are categorically remorseless. And it reminds
one guy,
me
criminal. The one guy, one of the gentlemen, he is.
I take the blame, but none of the guilt. And then the other guy saying,
"Wow,
I look back. I not only I would have done the same thing. In retrospect, I would have done the same thing.
Sociopathic.
You're lying through your teeth. If that may, and you can look at those old men soon to die,
Dick Cheney types,
who are going to go back, and they are going. And I tell you, the one guy that was one of the. I think the third wheel, who was head of a corporation, accepted the responsibility.
Oh, that guy, you could
tell.
You
know the guy that's sitting in the rustic cabin?
Yeah. He's
right?
like, if I could change it, I could. Yes.
And Oscar, I looked at him and I said, here's a guy that achieved success. And yes, he is broken up about it. He feels bad. Mm. But he's come to terms with, that is a happier man.
Yes.
Even though he was miserable, because he is being honest with people. And it's just, you want to watch a documentary that's going to teach you something, watch this documentary. It's the way it is. You got to make
I gotta
a fist sometimes.
About these two Dick Cheney types that accept, what was it, the blame but not the guilt?
Yeah, so they don't even...
How do they even accept
the blame, because they're so matter-of-fact, Rob, in the saying... It's what we had to do.
The data was there,
Even if you are wired in such a way that you can say that, why would you say it in an interview?
Because that Netflix
documentary.
Have we not seen it, folks?
Yeah. Well, I see it with the president now.
It's in front of us every day.
It's the same deal. Our current president.
It's the empathy chip. You don't have it.
It's gone.
It's not me, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, check it out. I forgot what the title is. It's the Challenger, I think.
It's the Flight of the Challenger. Something along the Flight of the Challenger. It's right there. It's top 10 trending on Netflix.
I'm sure it's trending, yeah.
And just a quick anecdote, Mike, I know we're wrapping up here, is that let's end on a high note if we can, that the stand-in or the runner-up or the alternate for Krista McCullough, she got to go to space. McCullough, I'm sorry. She got a chance to go to space. And I never knew that.
No.
Yeah.
And they're still wonderful people that are doing this. And it's still very, very important. And, space exploration is it. I believe that with all my heart. So check it out. Brilliant documentary done on Netflix. And you should check it out. Speaking of brilliant, I'll tell you about a company that's not brilliant when I come back right here. Or maybe they are if they want to screw people. On the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back.
P1s.
There he is.
Come and get your cocktail
party. It's this week.
Come along, my little ones. Champagne, drunken wives, all free on Friday. I've lots of lovely goodies for you. Naughty words. Mixed drinks. Maybe even ice cream. Treacle tarts.
Treacle tarts. And ice cream. And all free.
Come along, kiddie winkies. Come along, my little dears. My little mice. What will it be? Carla? Shannon? Superstar Carrie? It's all on Facebook Live.
Live?
Go inside, my little dears. And all free on Friday.
That's the Kid Catcher from Ginny Ginny. Yeah.
So great.
Promoting
so
our live show Friday. We're all going to be here. Welcome back to the show. According to the Declaration of Independence, we are all created equal. Politicians and billionaires have one vote, and so do you. This makes you as powerful as any of them. It gives you control over what happens in your community, your state, and this nation. It is your privilege and your duty to make sure that America lives up to its promise of equality. Make sure you're registered. Plan to vote on Tuesday, November 3rd, or vote early in your state if you can. All the information you need can be found at vote.org. Exercise your right, please. You have a voice. Make sure it is heard Tuesday, November 3rd. Vote! Because the future depends on you. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Great moment yesterday. Robert went out to get the mail. He comes in about 3 o'clock. He says, Dad, our ballots are here.
Aww.
Because we got our mail-in ballots, Carrie, me, and him. So we all get to vote this week. I'm so excited.
I saw a clip from Fairfax, Virginia, of all places, that early voting has begun already in Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
Is that
true? And Loudoun as well, yeah. People are standing in line to do it.
Overwhelming lines for people to get this done, and it looks like this is not an outlier. This is happening in states all over the place that we're going to have. They're saying it will be potentially the greatest voter turnout in more than 100 years.
Wow.
And what is so cool, this is Robert's first
percentage
election.
Percentage of the population, obviously. That's it.
Don't get happy, people.
Robert's first election, and he's so excited, and it makes me so happy that he's part of the process at such
an
important time.
He's 18 already?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, no, he will be 18 a week from today. That's when he
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So he'll September be voting 30th. In his first presidential election.
Yep. Exactly. Isn't that great?
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
That's so surreal.
I know.
Time flies.
I know. And he was so excited. It was an awesome moment. Great.
All right. I have a question. And I'm not going to dwell on this. This is a short break here, but I have to ask you. So if you are aware, and I'm not 100% aware, but I got a bid for a job and I can't go into the specifics, but I can tell you the company's called Plumbing Nerds.
Ah.
I won't go into the specifics of the job.
I like the name.
But here's the deal. Well, I think it's a national chain. I think it's a national chain. And I analyzed this job, and it the national average is somewhere from like $400 to $1,300 as the outlier for this job.
Okay.
And so they advertise. I get that somebody can come out there same day to look at this job. And I had done my research and found this company because they had a Yelp review, which so I check it out, and I they come out, and the guy looks at the project, and then goes to his truck. He said, "I'll be right back. I'll knock on your door." He's wearing the mask. He's socially distancing. He's doing all the things they should be. And then remember, $1,350, the most expensive in the nation for the job. The average $500, I think, can change to do this job.
Okay.
And he comes back, and I look, and he's on an iPad, and he comes back, and the job. And by the way, I have this job. I have researched. I know the job. I've been told by people what this job entails. I've been told by other people that live in that what this entails. Everything. I know where the project's going to be done. I know how it's going to be done. What I'm simply doing is trying to get it done. People are very busy down here in Southwest Florida. He comes back for this $500 job, and the bid is $5,100. And my question is, when that to me, and then I say, I can't do that, blah, blah, blah. I show him the paper. He goes, I don't know. They have no answers. This is not a longer period of time than anybody else. This is not more expensive. He's like, it's what it says. And he's basically pointing at the computer going, that's what the machine tells me. And so I said, see you later. Get bent. Thank you very much.
If they're a chain, I don't trust people that come out and do estimates with iPads. I still like to see people write stuff down on paper. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
Are you going
to
stop doing business with people then? Because that's essentially what's going away.
But what it says to me is that if this is a national chain, they're doing like an auto mechanic thing on you where they've figured out this is X price for X job, and they go to their website.
They are templating the job. But what do you do? What is your recourse when you have you have a job bid at 10
Three
times
bids.
The price?
Three bids.
And then you go in and you see in the deep dive on the reviews that it's everybody's saying this, including one of our best friends down the street. Turn them away for the same reason. When you are doing it, is obvious to me you have a company that is so outrageous with their price points that they wait for the rube. And probably one out of three people are rubes.
I beg to differ. I feel like plumbing is ubiquitous, right? So the hurdle to get into the business, to open up a plumbing business, probably isn't as high as most would think.
You need a wrench.
Yes. If you so for any vendor, and I wasn't taught this here, I wasn't taught this in business school, I was taught this as a very young man, to get three bids on everything before anybody mm-hmm. would sign off on anything. Mm-hmm. So when I would do that research, this is right as these online reviews are coming out. I remember what my manager of all places would make me do is take the lowest bid and take the best rated company and give the lowest bid to the best rated company and ask them to match. And that's how I would get where I get. But fighting the good fight against someone that's literally just looking for the highest price customer, or the rubes, as you would say, is right. never going to get you anywhere.
Well, and that's a great idea, though, Oscar. I like that.
But I think when you're talking about the price point being, you know, a couple dollars higher, and the range being, you know, most jobs, if you know what the job is, have a relatively small window of that. What do you do when you're sitting there with 10 times that? And also at the same time, I got a call from the supervisor who was, we like our customers to do their due diligence. That was the tone.
Yeah. They don't need your business.
This is the $10,000
you're going to go on. But that shouldn't be done to old people. That to me is just as criminal as if you're walking into a store and shoplifting some baked goods. You know, you're doing the same thing. It's that, yes, people do, but people rely on jobs to be done. And nobody, I would say probably I'm not a complete outlier in that I do my due diligence on a job and I do bid jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But this is for the people that might just not do that. I still think if it's a couple hundred dollars, you're getting probably a little screwed. But this is larceny. This is this is literally taking a job where if they, I said, how much is the, how long is the mm-hmm. job going to take? You know what he said? 3 hours. Mm. Do the math, Rob Spiewak. $5,000, 3 hours. How much am I paying the place? I mean, $666 an hour?
That seems high.
No.
No tipping.
I don't. I understand your outrage. And these people are probably ripping people off. What I am highlighting here is that if you try to break up the hourly to $1,666 to just this is what you're paying an hour, you are looking at the job in a different way than I think anyone should.
All right, how about it's running a line? How about by square foot? By linear foot?
That's even better.
How about if it's $22 a linear foot?
That's even better. I don't know what the comp should be per foot. Mm-hmm. And when you did you say to the gentleman, is like, this is what I'm getting quoted per foot? And did he say, well, we like people to do their research.
That's what you know what this is? This is the old theory, the $10,000 glass of lemonade. That if you set up a lemonade stand and you sell lemonade for a nickel a glass, go all day and you make a few cents, right? But if you just sell one glass at $10,000, you're rich. So what they're doing is they're holding off to find the rube in their larcenous way that's going to take that $5,000 job. And if they score that 1 in 5 times, they're ahead of the game. They're getting the same money for less work.
It's more money for less work, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I would
never. It's not fair, that's for sure. But
I would never even show him my front door. I would say out. Because the fact is, they're using a template.
Well, I go beyond that. The reason I bring it up on the show is I wonder, you know, what watchdogs I would call to see. Because as I did the deep dive after the fact on the 1-star reviews, which were many, they were all the same thing. On how overpriced they were, and not in a way. And I'm not talking. Look, being a little pricier. I know these companies, especially these national chains. They mm-hmm. can do that, but not this level. And then this no real explanation. If I'd gotten an explanation about it, if there was an explanation about it, I would have understood that a little bit more. If you had broken down the cost, which by the way. Anybody that's bid jobs before, that's usually what's done, and they didn't choose to do that.
Unless they're so busy. They're so busy that they're just like, we'll get somebody else to get through this. Like,
is that right?
I don't know what the economy down there is like.
But is that right?
It's wrong.
Mr. Corporate Apologist, is that right?
I'm saying that you are spinning your wheels because it's not going to change anything.
I know, but I mean, it's not right. It's just like what we talked about when we talk about that document. It's not right. I'm thinking about the next guy down the road. I'm not thinking about just me.
You're a better man than most.
I'm thinking about who I call at the local television station and say, by the way, does this sound right to you? And is this being done? You know?
Seven on your side.
Spy report.
Spy report.
Anyway, that's it. That's my little bit.
To catch a contractor.
Thank you. To catch a contractor.
You would think a national chain would, by theory, should be cheaper. You got,
Chris Hansen's still in the game.
The first thing.
Didn't he get in trouble for sexual harassment?
Yeah, he did after the fact.
After he was, he's catching predators and then he's doing sexual harassment. What's wrong with people?
Anyway, he just has to know his enemy. That's all.
We'll take a break and come back with more fun right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, Rob Spiewak does outdated impressions. Get ready to Google Sydney Green Street.
Delicious Rob Spiewak fruitcakes. Ah, Wilma, on black walnuts alone we could make a fortune.
Frank Nelson.
Yes?
Oh, you haven't ordered yet. Well, they're only available for a limited time, dummy.
Katherine Hepburn.
I love the fruitcakes. Rally, I do.
Clark Gable.
Fruitcake? I love you.
Frank Morgan.
Who rang that bell? Oh, it's a fruitcake delivery. Bring it right in. The wizard?
Peter Lorre.
You despise me, don't you? Would you still hate me if I gave you a fruitcake?
And Betty Davis.
This year has been a horrible year, dude. What you need is a Rob Spiewak fruitcake, or it's going to be a bumpy night.
Ah, yes. Taking you back to the days of yesteryear. The classics hold up, just like the taste of a Rob Spiewak fruitcake. Get yours now at MikeOMaraShow.com.
You should hear my Buster Keaton impression.
Taste the classic greatness. That was a silent film star joke.
You see, he didn't talk, back. Oscar.
I was wondering, did that just drop out?
Yes. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Stamps.com. As we slowly adjust to a new normal, we still need to be smart about how we do business. Luckily, there's Stamps.com to make things easier. Thousands of small business owners have discovered the benefits of Stamps.com in recent months and have kept their businesses running while avoiding crowds at the post office. You simply use your own computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail is ready, just leave it for your mail carrier, schedule a pickup, or drop it in a mailbox. You get great discounts, too. 5 cents off every stamp and up to 62% off USPS and UPS shipping rates, and no residential surcharges. Right now, our listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TMOS. That's stamps.com, and enter the promo code TMOS. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Talked a little about weight yesterday.
Pandemic pounds.
Pandemic pounds. I think I got it. I think I might have, I don't want to call it a full-fledged epiphany, but I'm going to tell you, there is a huge difference between being hungry and craving something. And
yes.
And I know, now, hear me out, real quick. There he is mocking me again. Yes, sir. And I shouldn't spin my wheels.
Did you guys know there was trans fats and fats?
Stop it.
Mike, I got a text just now from Katie Forbes von Herman. She says, call the Better Business Bureau. Send it over to the Better Business
BBB.
Bureau. The BBB. Okay. There you go. Thank you. Fats.
All right, thank you. Not fats. We're not doing. He said fats and trans fats.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Cravings and hunger.
Oh, that's right.
There is a difference between a craving, which is making you kind of go nuts that you have to have something.
Yeah.
Which normally for me involves sugar products and hunger.
And women.
And so, look, this might work for me. Give me 5 months. All right. At the end of 5 months, I'll come to you and I'll say, you know, remember that thing where I embraced it? I really had a moment today where I kind of got it. Last night, I was experiencing a feeling that says, man, all I was thinking about, food. It was just thinking about things that Michael was having something and I'm over there smelling it. And my window closed at 4 p.m. That's when I
had to stop eating.
Your reentry window.
That's when my window will go till 11 a.m. this morning. And that's it. And I talked about not wanting to mess that up. With the birthday weekend, it got screwed up a lot. But the feeling I was having was when we were... So I didn't have anything at all last night.
So you were disciplined.
Well, I mean, you have to be. If you're going to do the intermittent fasting, you really just have to kind of...
No cheats?
Well, it's not even a cheat as much as it's what you do. You can do stuff during the window. That won't even guarantee success.
Yes.
But it's always hard to do a reset after you've had a weekend, like a weekend off.
Right. Yeah. And sugar.
Right.
Sugar. And so the feeling I was having, Carl and I were having a little discussion about it today, where it's like, well, and she said, that's not hunger, that's a craving.
Oh, Mike, here we go.
Said, she said, did...
Is this a love song?
It's a food song.
Oh,
it's a chocolate song.
Is it really?
Katie Lang.
Katie Lang. Katie Lang. Lovely. I'm sorry.
Are you in bed or at breakfast when you're having this conversation with Carl?
I was sitting in my chair doing my show prep this morning.
Okay.
Having a cup of unsweetened hot tea.
Mm.
Lovely. Lovely.
At approximately 6:30-ish in the
morning.
For
the instrument.
It's what I drink. It's my coffee.
Oh, sorry.
It's my coffee, and it can't put any sweetener in it.
And it's allowed.
And she said, you weren't hungry. She said, were you hungry or were you craving something? And I thought back and said, I was craving. I wanted to run out and get like a chocolate milkshake or something like that. That's what I want. And that's a craving.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So for all the fatties out there, let me just say, recognize it, embrace the craving, and don't yield to the craving.
How did you discipline yourself? How did you stop yourself from going and getting a smoothie?
There was nothing in the house, and I was too lazy to get in the car and go.
Okay.
And I couldn't have done it because she was here, because the commandant was on campus. So I couldn't have done it anywhere. You know, first of all, it would have been an outlier if I said, I'm just running out for a few minutes at like 8 o'clock at night.
What if you just stopped and said, I think I need to go and get some chapstick. I'll be back in 40 minutes.
Now, you know what? Thank you, Netflix. Thank you, Netflix, without those commercial breaks. I don't know if anybody's seen that gooey, froppy, drippy, sugary icing crap that we watch for commercials all the time.
Yeah.
It's not like football where you're seeing just insurance companies. Thank you. It was great. I'm done. But I mean, look, I'm telling you, that might have worked. It might not. But I'm going to remember that. I'm going to try to remember that. You're in the intergovernment.
World, it's a need or want.
Do you crave a cough drop right now?
Do you want? Yeah, I need a new larynx.
Need or want. Are you feeling any better? Or are you still angry?
I'm not angry anymore. I got off.
You're not angry anymore.
Once I let Rob know what's what, I felt better afterwards.
Yes. What about Pony? You still angry at Pony?
No. Pony's on a rocket ship. No pun intended.
Oh dear.
With O-rings intact, straight to the moon. He's done such a great job. Like, he totally hasn't left early in the last 9 days, and he still texts.
Way to keep that bar high. All right, very good. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with news.
Gotta be home by nightfall. Gotta be home by nightfall.
He's doing great.
Hey, he's done great. He hasn't left early in 3 days. Yeah, all
hasn't killed a single person.
Way up here. There's that bar. Strive for it. We'll take a break and come back with a very. I worked extra hard on my news.
Good.
You may not need. With a new poem coming up on the Mike O'Meara Show. Hello, friends. Jeff Goldblum here. How are you? Yeah, you're great. I know you are. You're looking at me like that. Listen, I love to listen to the Mike O'Meara Show on my Alexa, but I'm scared of it. Yeah, I'm scared. It makes me nervous. It's like it's watching me. But really, if you're not as scared as I am, well, first of all, congratulations to you. And tell Alexa to play the Mike O'Meara Show. And Bob's your uncle. Still terrified. Jeff Goldblum checking out. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Got to make this quick. We need to talk about features.
Features.
What are they? Simply the greatest socks in the world. Engineered with targeted compression, anatomical design. They've got a lifetime guarantee. Features. FEETURES. I want to tell you a story about a man named Mike O'Meara who went to his closet today and pulled out his little drawer, his little sock drawer, and noticed that, all the old regulars were there from years past.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. The features have all been used. They're all in the laundry, and a little frustrating today because the features are
not
on my feet.
Not the same.
I am not the same human being. I'm going to tell you, you will become addicted to these socks. They are the best. Whether you are golfing, running, or you just want the best socks in the world, you need features. And if you are blessed enough to have a relationship where someone else might be in charge of the laundry, make sure that that individual is reminded on a continual basis that your features have to be replenished on a regular basis. Otherwise, it will put you in a mood. You will not have that perfect fit, left-right features. Features socks will change how you feel about socks forever. You can get $10 off your first pair of Features when you go to features.com/TMOS. You are going to love it. I guarantee that. Features.com/TMOS. They're fantastic. FEETURES.com/TMOS for $10 off your first pair of Features. And I know, Rob, you wanted to say something as well.
True or false, they've lowered your golf handicap.
I don't want to go crazy. I really don't want to go crazy, but they let's just say this. They have made me a happier individual, and
right.
I mean that. They are
all
very,
right.
very important to me, and I love them. And please let the people at Features know how much I love them, and I'm going to order, I think, probably 6 pairs today, because I
that's a total of 12 socks, Oscar.
That's right.
Thank you.
I cannot wait. I can no longer wait. No, that's not what I wanted to play. That's not what... God!
Hey, Pointer Sisters.
That is great.
All right, I've lost something here.
Oh, it's something playing. You don't know from where?
Yeah, hold on, I'll figure it out.
Let me say this, gentlemen.
Yes.
That when Mike spins out, it's not necessarily great for the show, but
no.
for the audience, that is the most natural. And the only time I can, though I guess the only universal, like, damn it, situation is Bumpuses!
Bumpuses! Bumpuses!
So when I hear him say, damn it! I just think of a Christmas story every time.
Yeah. And we're running late on the show, and I've got a long, big, fat thing that I have to do, too.
What are you
and
looking
it's gone.
For?
An entire soundboard is gone. An entire soundboard, because soundboards go away. Because that's the way this software works. It's the work. If I've lost my soundboard, I'm going to have a full-fledged meltdown right
I'm
here.
I'm sure it's
show.
In there.
It's not in there. It's not. I move stuff around.
Do we have any redundancies we can put in place?
Hold on just a second. Oh,
this is a
thank
nice little tune.
God.
New.
Thank
no,
you.
There we go. There we go.
Thank you. Turn that down, fire. Is that me?
That's you.
God damn this. Jesus Christ.
But I think we now know how you feel about the Pointer Sisters.
That was a solid
Holy
rocket.
Shit. Oh, my God. All right, I'm going to play it again. This whole last segment, I want
yes.
it completely stricken from my permanent record.
News.
News.
Shop it off. God almighty. Piece of crap soundboard. Honest to God, worst software ever. Broadcast stuff you're
Mike,
supposed to
I've
use.
Got an instant replay if you'd like that better.
I swear
you
to
would?
Jesus Christ, on a day like this, I'd like to put it back in. Digital sucks ass sometimes. Anyway, here's an old marriage test from 1939 that's making the rounds online. It's about there's something with this soundboard that has effed up my show every day this week.
Yeah.
Every day
true.
This week.
I haven't
you brush
noticed.
Your finger by and they're dumped. And they're
yeah.
it's just... It's terrible. Anyway, here it is. This is funny. This really is funny.
Yeah.
I'm so discombobulated right now. I
Take
really
a breath.
Look forward.
Breathe
this
deep.
Is the part of the show I look forward to the most.
Yeah.
That I put some time into, and it was great. And
are you hungry
anyway.
Or are you craving?
Neither right now.
Okay.
Just got a low-grade headache. Here are some signs of you're a good
Advil.
Husband.
Yeah.
According to the test, you're... all right, this is it from 1939. You're nice to her friends. Remember your anniversary if you're a good husband. You're kind to her even if no one's watching. 1939.
Oh.
You ask for her opinion sometimes. 1939.
Sometimes.
You let her drive the car if she needs it.
Mm.
Let her.
And here's the best one right here. In 1939, you're a good husband if you read the paper out loud to her.
Well, she needs that. It'll
oh,
help
like,
her understand.
My 2020 yeah. marriage.
Yeah.
Here are a few signs you're not a great husband. They include flirting
Oscar.
In front of her,
oh,
comparing
yeah.
her to your mom or previous
mm.
wives, talking about how life was better before you got married, not saying excuse me when you burp, and criticizing her in public. Probably kind of a gold standard, right?
Yeah.
Now here are a few signs you're a good wife. By
wife.
1939 standards, my favorite part, you always serve dinner on time. You play an instrument.
What?
Whoa.
You play an
code?
Instrument.
Is that code?
You get dressed up for breakfast.
Right.
Yeah, you're a good housekeeper. You always put the kids to bed. You run any big purchases by your husband first, and you let him sleep in on the weekends. Some signs you're not a good wife include not liking kids.
Oh, that is not okay.
Yeah.
Being late for appointments. Mm. Letting your cold feet touch him under the covers. Are we okay with connectivity? Please tell me we're okay with connectivity. Being a backseat driver, getting jealous, and wearing red nail polish. Ooh, harlot.
I like me some red nail polish. I don't think I can agree with that.
I do like it when Shannon does her hair before bed because I'm like, oh, at least she's trying some effort, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah, closest, but watch out for those ice cold feet.
All right. Moving right along. Somehow Carol Baskin did not get eliminated first on Dancing with the Stars, even before she landed in the basement in week one with an 11 out of 30. We had zero faith in her ability to dance or win over any people with her personality. Last night was an improvement, though. She got 16 out of 30, which was actually higher than Sky Jackson. These celebrities, I don't even know who the hell they are. Sky Jackson and Charles Oakley, who both got 15. Still, it was Carol in the bottom two with Charles, and the judges had to make the call. It was Carol by a split decision. Carrie Ann Inaba voted for Carol. Bruno, okay, whoever.
Is anybody watching Carol Baskin? This?
Charles Oakley is a famous NBA great, NBA right. player.
Didn't he invent sunglasses?
No. But I don't know who Sky Jackson is.
Oh. Yes, Carol Baskin. There she is.
I know who she is.
Deion Sanders has been named the new head coach of the Jackson State Tigers, a Division I school out of Mississippi, which competes in the FCS. Their last winning season came in 2013. Jackson State is hoping Deion puts them on the map with recruits, and that circus seems to be underway. Deion has been asked to be called Coach Prime.
You know what it makes
if
me think of?
If you're going to be Deion Sanders, do that. Hold on a second. If you want to be Deion Sanders, be the guy that brings
course.
That.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
That's what they're paying him for.
Let me see. A reference to his primetime nickname. A local reporter tweeted that Deion is even adding a few superstars to his coaching staff. Terrell Owens as his wide receivers coach and Warren Sapp as his defensive line coach.
Wow.
There was another rumor that Brett Favre would be his QB coach, which would be wild if it were true, but it's not. So, but hey, Terrell Owens, Warren Sapp, and Deion Sanders.
Pretty phenomenal.
It's pretty great. It makes me think back of the old WJFK days, Mike, when you would do an impression of the late, great Timmy Obibene. And you would say Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders, man. Yes, Captain. In Toy Story 4, Keanu Reeves' character Duke Kaboom was an obvious homage to Evel Knievel, but the people who control Evel's name and likeness don't see it as a compliment because they weren't able to cash in. K&K Promotions is suing Disney and Pixar for damages. So good for them. It's another
lawsuit.
Any
chance that K&K is the late Evel and the still living Robbie?
Robbie Knievel.
Robbie Knievel.
All right. And according to dating.com's data, it is possible that twice as many couples have broken up this year compared to last year. 67% of the new users on their site say they went through a breakup in the past year. Last year, only 34% of new users had just gotten out of a relationship. So 67 from 34, that's a big deal.
If you were in a terrible relationship when the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And you just were looking for a way to break away.
Yeah.
I think you had a window from March to April. But you had to leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got to get out.
So that was it. Done.
It sucks. It's, we're all under stress. Right
I think
now.
What we need is a vaccine for happy.
Yeah, very good. Happy vaccine. Rob Spiewak's happy vaccine. And now, there it is again. Now, a little something something. There's a 29-year-old guy named Nicholas Ellingford from Lincoln City, Oregon, and he was at a grocery store on Sunday night with a friend. Nicholas had brought along his Glock 9mm handgun, and while he was in the checkout line, he pulled out the gun to show to his friend. And as he put it back in his pants, he accidentally shot himself right in the... urn area. The bullet went through his groin and exited through his thigh. He needed to be airlifted to a hospital for the injury. It turns out he didn't have a concealed carry license, so he could be looking at charges for that, plus reckless endangerment. And it motivated me to write a poem. Are you ready?
Oh, good. I love a poem. Please. Good.
Because the name Nicholas Ellingford reminded me of a Dickens character.
So yes.
Here goes nothing. Nicholas Ellingford pulled out a Glock in the grocery store line at around 3 o'clock. But when Nicholas Ellingford put it back in his pants, the gun, it went off, and Nick started to dance. Into his crotch and then out through his thigh, the bullet had traveled in the blink of an eye. Nicholas knows now, when showing your Glock, to always be careful, or you might lose your... All right, everybody, very good. Fill in the blank. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Shaving cream.
We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spivak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show as you listen to the late, great Charlie Daniels. That devil went down to Georgia on Bay Country 103 FM.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal.
2 days left on Friday, drinking, laughter, jokes, and glasses clinking. After that, yeah, we'll be stinking. Only got 2 days more. Only got 2 days more.
Hello. Can you believe it? Only 2 more days until the next Mike O'Mara Show cocktail party.
This Friday at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Time's a fleeting.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
The boy said, my name's Johnny. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Freshly. We've all spent a lot of time at home during the past few months. A lot.
Yes.
And they say that a lot.
And at first, it was kind of fun cooking at home, right? Well,
right.
Now if you're like me, you are plenty tired of cooking all around the clock. Enough already. That's where Freshly comes in. Just ask Oscar. He lives on it.
Mm-hmm.
Freshly understands that food needs to be delicious, healthy, and simple. And it's delish. Freshly, you can avoid the grocery store and enjoy fully prepared dinners delivered fresh, not frozen, right to your door. I like it to me.
Summer seared steak is wonderful.
Ooh, good stuff.
I always tell Shannon when that box is outside on our stoop on Sunday afternoons for our Freshly meals for the week, I said, no oven, no problem.
That's right. Rock it.
Poor boy. Freshly chefs and nutritionists do all the hard work. All you do is heat for 3 minutes and dinner is done. Whether you crave comfort foods, feel better foods, or something from your personal home bistro, Freshly has what you want every time. You're going to love it. Join the almost 1.5 million satisfied Freshly customers and skip the shopping, the prepping, the cooking, and the cleanup. Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off their first 2 orders at freshly.com/TMOS. Don't wait. That's freshly.com/TMOS. There we are. Rob Spivak, take it away, please.
So we're not watching Dancing with the Stars, but are you watching the other new... The other noon reality show, America's Next Top Karen.
Can I speak to your manager?
America's Next Top Karen is back.
Can we be seated already? We've been waiting for 5 minutes.
Watch as these kooky Karens compete to be the best in America.
You guys can't be selling lemonade here. This is a residential neighborhood.
I need to take my boys to soccer practice.
You cannot force me to wear a mask. I will call the cops. I will call the cops.
Well, how much longer is it going to be?
2 minutes.
What?
These Karens are large and in charge.
I ordered the white romaine hearts and this wedge salad. These leaves are green.
Hi, 911. 911. There's a bunch of gangsters selling lemonade outside my house.
There's a lady here who's trying to make me wear a mask. I'm afraid for my life. I'm afraid for my life.
This Sunday on Bravo. All Karens, all the time.
I'm calling the police.
Not a real reality show, but it was trending awesome on YouTube yesterday. I like that very
love
much.
That. That's fantastic.
All right, this is very sweet. On Sesame Street, you know, they have stars come in and do little segments with the Muppets, right?
Yes.
And this was Hugh Jackman and Elmo talking about the word concentrate.
Hi, I'm Hugh.
Oh, and Elmo's Elmo.
Yes, and we're here to tell you about a very important word, concentrate.
Yeah.
Now, I know concentrate is a pretty big word, but it's lots of fun to say.
Now, here's where it gets cool. There's a special needs, appears to be a special needs kid. She's 10. And she was talking to her mom, and her mom was taping it. And she referenced that concentrate sketch on Sesame Street. And because of that, Hugh Jackman actually sent her a message on Instagram. This is really cool.
What are you doing, Julia? What's the word?
Concentrate.
Concentrate?
God bless you.
Yeah.
Who taught you concentrate?
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
And Elmo.
Elmo.
Yeah, concentrate. Show us again.
Hi, Julia. I'm so proud of you for concentrating, doing so well. I'm going to practice hard today as well. Like P.T. Barnum once said, no one made a difference by being like anyone else. Happy birthday.
Love that. Thought that was very, very cool.
That's a sweet moment. That's there. Nice. I like that.
It's really but nice. Here's something that sucks. Mike Sizzler, I know one of your favorite restaurants.
Oh, love it. Clam chowder. Yum, yum.
Sizzler has announced bankruptcy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it goes away.
The password is sneeze guard.
Oh, yeah, man.
Optional sneeze guard, but it's a tribute to the great Sizzler restaurant chain. Here's some of their 1990s training video.
Sizzler introduces a new kind of dining.
This voice on this guy, Sizzler.
Sizzler introduces a new kind of dining with two completely different dining experiences in one restaurant. The Grill, with a variety of distinctive platters served at your table. And the Buffet Court, a whole experience on its own, where you create delicious combinations just the way you want them.
Extra droplets, please. So anyway, if you have a Sizzler, you may want to get out to there pretty soon.
Hold on, the late powers booth just came in. Well, bye.
Sorry. And I love this. They did a montage. When the biggest news story of the day involves a word you can't say, how do you handle it? This is local coverage of the Emmy Awards.
The show up a creek whose name we can't say on morning TV.
Can't say the name on TV, but it involves the creek. Now, we're not sure if we're allowed to say the name.
Yeah.
Our boss told us we can't say the name of the show.
Renee didn't want to say the name of the TV show.
Not really.
She doesn't want to get in trouble.
That is spelled S-C-H.
Yes.
I know.
Still can't say the name of the show that swept. Can't really say the name on TV, but Creek is in the title.
The show that sounds like Splits Creek.
We're talking about S-Creek. S-Creek is so good.
Never seen Blank Creek.
Can I say the name of the show?
So what it is, basically, is all these morning television programs have a no policy. That's where they're at.
Yeah, but and you know what they're doing differently.
I know. I know.
They're spotlighting the word.
They're
so
making
they're doing
it worse.
The opposite of what they should be doing. But
also, someone wrote on Facebook. It was funny that every time it was said on the Emmys, they tried to put a super up with the spelling, just like to remind us it isn't that word. So that's how stupid they are there. And congratulations
on America. Get your act together, please.
The lowest rated Emmys ever. Congratulations, guys. That's your Magic Audio Vault.
Have a great
Wednesday, everybody.
Funny show, though. My
great show.
You guys and my brother-in-law love that show.
Fruit
I sent
one.
Him the New York Times review of the the Emmy Award record for Schitt's Creek. Fantastic.
Yep.
That's it. We got to get out of here. Don't forget our fruitcake's still for sale. And we have the big TMOS cocktail party on Friday night for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. This is Mike O'Mara saying kudos to me for another fabulous technical performance on the Mike O'Mara show. You did great.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yes, Mike, I am.
You're an a-hole.
You got that right. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Do you know who I am? I'm Mo Green.